immediately.
1230 The Voice is WXCO Wausau.
Good morning and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and today we continue going verse by verse through the book of Proverbs. We are in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. That is where we begin. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1 says, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you." If you think saving money is important because it enhances your life, then you ought to take God's advice and store the Word of God in your soul, because that is worth much more than money, and it will enhance your life more than anything. Verse 2, he says, "Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye." Keep my commands as the apple of your eye. Is there a part of the body that we protect more than our eye? I don't think so. As soon as something is headed toward our eye, what do? We squint, or we duck, or we lift our hand to, or our arm to block it. And we'll sacrifice any part of our body to protect the eye. And that's what God is talking about here. Sight, you know, enhances our life. I suppose that's why it's so natural to protect our eyes. But in the same way, we should guard our obedience to Christ, because that enhances our life as well. That's why he's saying, protect your soul. Protect your obedience to the Word of God as you would your own eye. A close walk with Jesus is the key to an abundant life, and that's why it's so important. And speaking of the law of God, verse 3, bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. To bind the Word of God to your fingers is to allow the Bible to control everything that you do. Let it be your guide. Make your decisions based on what Scripture says. Stick to the Word of God. Stick to the law of God. Verse 4, say to wisdom, "You are my sister," and call understanding your nearest kin. Wisdom should be respected by us as much as we'd respect a family member or a close friend. Have that high regard for the Word of God and for the wisdom that is found there. Value wisdom as you would value a close friendship. Verse 4 and 5, say to wisdom, "You are my sister," and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. The batting eyes and the flattery of a loose woman is to a man what a worm is to a bluegill. And in a situation like that, a man needs to listen to wisdom. Listen to the Word of God, because it'll be saying, look beyond the eyes and look beyond the flattery and take note of that hook. verse 6. He continues, "For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice." And the writer is about to tell the story of a very loose woman and a young man who was taken in by her. In verse 7, "And I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding." In other words, this young man was naive. He's not a hardened sinner. He's just inexperienced, hasn't been around. And right about now, he doesn't know this, but his life is hanging in the balance. And it could go either way, good or bad, depending on the moral choices that he makes. Verse 8, "Passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house." Mistake number one. He's in the wrong part of town. You know, the best way to avoid sin is to make every effort to stay as far away from the temptation as possible. That's one of the great values, I should say, of a close walk with Jesus, is that it protects us from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. A life lived for Christ will protect us from many temptations because it will keep us occupied doing good things. Only so many minutes in a day. And if you're occupied doing good things because your walk with the Lord is solid, then you're not going to have room in your life for doing the bad things or being in the wrong places. Living for Jesus keeps us away from the things that we shouldn't be doing and will, in many cases, keep us away from being tempted to do what we shouldn't do because we're going to be busy doing good things. The Bible says we overcome evil with good. Notice verse 9, "In twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night." Well, he's in the wrong place, and he's there at the worst possible time as well. And he is just asking for trouble. He's like a mosquito horsing around by one of those blue light zappers, whatever they're called. You know what I'm talking about. Looks very inviting. Boy, it's got a lot of drawing power to it, you know. It feels good. But then all of a sudden it fries them. When they get just a little too close, they're gone. Verse 10. "And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart." And so this woman was dressed to kill and painted up to be noticed. And she sure catches this fella's eye. See, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, which resulted in him looking at the wrong thing. Boy, when you give temptation that much of a head start, it's going to be very difficult to hold back. You know, once the momentum starts building to that point, that's very difficult. And so he is in so deep that he is probably at the point of no return, even though he hasn't officially sinned yet. 11. "She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner." Boy, there's nothing modest about this woman. She is loud and brash as she calls attention to herself. She's very easy to spot, and that's exactly the way she wants it. Sin is very easy to find. Not just this sin, any sin, very easy to find. Temptation is very easy to find. In fact, as we go through life, it often finds us. 13. "So she caught him and kissed him." Stop there. Wow, that never happened to this guy before, I guarantee you that. This young guy? He never seen anything like this in his life. And of course, many guys would see this and say, man, are you lucky? Your ship just came in, buddy. Yeah, his ship came in all right. Too bad it was the Titanic. He's in trouble. Verse 13 and 14. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, stop there. No, let's read. Let's go on and read. I have peace offerings with me. Today, I have paid my vows. She's a religious girl. She seems kind of loose to this young man. You know, he'd never seen anything like this back home. But she talks about her religious offerings. Well, how bad can that be? You know, that part of her sort of reminds him of his mother back home on the farm, I suppose. Satan often uses just a touch of religion or just a touch of the Bible to get good people to let down their guard. You see? Kind of draws them in. It's the hook. I should say it's the bait. He grabs our attention with something good so that he can slip some deadly poison through the back door without us even noticing it. And by the time we notice it, it's too late. We've already swallowed it. Very slick. That's why it's so important to stay away from it, to stay away from the temptation in the first place. Well, verse 15, so I came out to meet you, she says to this young man. I came out to meet you. Diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have found you. You know what she's saying? She's trying to tell this guy that he's the guy that she's been looking for all her life. She says, you're the one I've been waiting for. Liar. She would have said that to anyone who happened to pass by. But he's foolish enough and naive enough to believe it. What a well-laid trap. And the perfect bait as well. 16. She says, I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Well, if he wasn't thinking what she wanted him to think before, he sure is now. This is what you call a not-so-subtle hint as she describes her bed. And his naive brain is churning like crazy. The wheels are really spinning right about now. Verse 18, she says, come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. She makes it sound like it'll be great. Man, it's all pleasure. It is all positive. There's no downside to this. This is a golden opportunity for you, boy. 19. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will not come home on the appointed day. In other words, there's no danger of getting caught. Now, some people may say that this is wrong, but there's no danger at all of us being caught. It's the perfect plan. Yeah? And if he wasn't brought up to know that there is a God in heaven who sees everything that he does and will hold him accountable for everything that he does, he's going to believe her, because right now the temptation has got control of him. 21. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Her words are melting away any inhibitions that he might have had. This temptation is quickly starting to spin out of control. She overpowered him. She really did. She forced him, not with muscle, something much stronger than that, with her ability to create temptation. Jesus said it is necessary that temptations come. It is inevitable that temptations come, but woe unto those who do the tempting. This is a vicious attack disguised as something pleasant. This is a delicious porterhouse steak injected with poison. It, like many sins, looks like a delightful path, but it's a delightful path to hell. 22. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. The young man thinks he's moving towards pleasure. He thinks all is well because, after all, she seems to really care about him. And since she cares about him, she wouldn't do anything that would be hurtful. This can't be wrong. It'll be okay if I do this. 23. Till an arrow stuck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would take his life. He didn't know it would take his life. Boy, these few minutes of pleasure are going to come with a big price tag. Venereal disease, AIDS, judgment from God, disgrace, who knows, embarrassment and scandal. When eventually the word gets out as to what he did, he's going to regret this for the rest of his life. And he's a young man, so that's a long, long time. When temptation is the greatest, at that age, sin, if you indulge in it, will have the worst consequences for the longest period of time. It's a huge price tag. Much better off to obey God, to listen to Him. I'm going to take my break. We'll be back in 1 minute. Please listen to this. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. Age is something that concerns most of us, at least occasionally. You may not be having a birthday soon, but the new year of 2012, that is now just a month away, makes us think about the passage of time and about the fact that each of us is changing and getting older. There is an exception, although it is difficult for us to comprehend. Our God, we are told in the Bible, is from everlasting to everlasting. The Christ of Christmas came to introduce us to the God of creation who will live forever, the same yesterday, today, and always. There isn't too much about us that has remained or will remain the same until our lives on this earth are ended and we join our never-changing God in His eternal kingdom. Thanks to the Christ of Christmas, who makes all of this possible. This is By the Way.
We are back. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. If you'd like to be a part of this ministry, you can be by praying for us. Please pray that God would bless His Word as we teach it verse by verse. And also, if you want to be a part of this ministry through your financial support, that would be wonderful. Our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Again, that's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Thank you. Back to our study. We are in Proverbs chapter 7. We resume in verse 24. God says, "Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths." Now, before the break, we were looking at this section of Scripture with deals with a naive young man who's taken in by a woman into sin, which will destroy him. You know, the moment a man has even a slight desire to associate with a woman like this, he needs to call on the name of Christ to drive that desire out of him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. That's the big thing, to make the decision to call on Christ for deliverance. And that's what it means when it says, do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Let the Holy Spirit take the temptation away from you while it is still manageable. 26, for she has cast down many wounded. Look at that. And all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. She has used her old worn out line, worn out but still very effective line, on many, many men. She has ruined many men. And any guy who thinks that an aggressive woman like this, who is coming on strong to him, has never done it before, needs to think again. She has done it before with other men many times. She has done it before, and she's going to do it again after she's done with you. There's no way that a woman like this should be trusted. We move on. Chapter 8. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? Just like sin called out in chapter 7, wisdom, that is, Christ, calls out to us in chapter 8. You know, there's a battle going on in the world for the souls of men. The forces of evil try to pull us towards sin and hell. Meanwhile, God cries out to people, telling them to turn from their wicked ways, I should say, and find salvation through Jesus Christ, to repent and turn to him while they still can. Verse 2. She takes her stand, talking about wisdom, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, and at the entrance of the doors. And this list of places where the wisdom of God can be found is his way of saying that she can be found anywhere if you will just listen. The Bible says that no one can escape the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is everywhere and is always attempting to convince people of their sinfulness and their need to repent. Verse 4. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Christ wants to save every single person on earth. The Word of God is calling out to all people, all sons of men. Wisdom from God is seen crying out to anyone who will listen. God loves all people and says that he's not willing that any should perish. Verse 6. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Notice the character of God's teachings. He never teaches anything that isn't true or right or good for us. God speaks excellent things, and he speaks right things and truth. And he speaks against all wickedness. What God says may not always sit well with our sin nature, but it is always that which is good for us. 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Men prize jewels and wealth. However, those who have discernment, the really smart people of this world, the wise people, know that God's word is much more valuable than any of those things. 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Wisdom, discretion, being thrifty, making the best choices, and having the ability to manage the everyday affairs of life all go hand in hand. And these things are byproducts. They are enhanced by the Word of God. When God's Word speaks of the things of this world and how we should relate them to ourselves, we would do well to follow His instructions very carefully because He knows what He's talking about. God created this world. He designed how it functions. Therefore, He knows how we should behave to make the most of this life. He invented the owner's manual for life. He wrote it. He knows what He's talking about. And the little choices in this life are very important. If we do the little things right, the big things will take care of themselves. If we follow God, second by second, the big picture will just fall into place naturally. 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. And that's what God says. There are certain things that Almighty God cannot live with. Pride, lying, wickedness, and all forms of evil are the moral opposite of God, and therefore, He can't have fellowship with anyone who lives that way and refuses to repent and refuses to confess. He just can't. He won't. 14. Counsel is mine. In sound wisdom, I am understanding. I have strength. You live for Jesus, He will give you wisdom and a benefit package worth more than anything that any company on earth can possibly offer you. Jesus will give you good counsel. He will give you sound judgment. He will give you understanding and moral strength to do the right thing and to avoid evil. And all those things will make your life
better. Hi, my name is Stacy. Welcome to Blue.
In eternity. 15. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. Christ will give you leadership skill too. And the skill to judge correctly if you live for Him. If you draw close to Him through the Word and through prayer, He will impart those things to you. 16. By me, princes, rules, and nobles, and all the judges of the earth. And there it is again. The ability to lead and judge comes from God, from a close walk with Him. People say, don't judge. Are they out of their mind? We have to judge between right and wrong. We must judge between the guilty and the innocent. God have mercy on us if we don't. And a close walk with God will give you discernment concerning these things. Questions, comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can email me at versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. If you want to study the Word of God further, you can do that by going to the Scripture Verse by Verse website. That can be found at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. Now, you can study the entire Bible online, of course, for free, using my audio Bible messages. Just pick the book you want to study, the chapter within that book, the section, and listen to me teach it verse by verse. You can do that. Or I am also now in the process of writing commentaries on each book of the Bible. It's a long-term project, and I've got a couple of them up there, but new are being added almost daily, new chapters, I should say. So check it out. That's the Scripture Verse by Verse commentary. There, of course, for your edification as well, free of charge, like everything else. If you're looking for a place to worship, come and join us. Sunday morning, Island Place, which is right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. That's Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. you are welcome to come and join us. And thank you for spending this time with me. Until next week, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.